Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to be with you today. Happy Father's Day to all the dads and granddads. I'm excited to be preaching. I've got a great day ahead. Amy's got dinner planned at the house. I get to be with my two dads, my father-in-law, John, my stepdad, Jack. I want to honor you guys. Love you both very much. And then we've got church softball this afternoon at 4 o'clock. It's a little risky to be playing sports at my age. Last year, I had two significant injuries during the season. The first one, we play Sunday afternoons, which isn't ideal, but I guess it's church softball, so it's kind of, you know, church fellowship and whatnot. But I had to go right from the fellowship meal over to the game, and I had to change clothes in the porta potty over there. And it's really cramped in there, and you're trying not to touch, you know, any of the surfaces. So I'm trying to change in the porta potty, and bang, you know, out back goes my lower back. So that was a major injury. And the other one was, like, in between innings, we were batting, and we got our three outs, which happens rapidly sometimes for our team. And so I had to then, you know, I'm leaving the dugout to run out to shortstop to take my position. And as I'm running out to shortstop, boom, my hamstring goes out. So it's a dangerous sport. We're going to see how it goes today. One dad texted me this week. He's like, I'm not sure I can play Sunday. And he texted this huge bruise he had on his leg. I go, how did you get that? You know, because I don't remember any kind of bang, bang play with him. He's like, I don't know. I just have it. So it's going to be great. We have a great time. Come watch. So Father's Day does bring a lot of emotions for us. You know, like Jonathan shared a few minutes ago, some of us had great dads. Some of us had less than great dads. Some of us, hardly knew our fathers. Others of us are missing our dads that have died. My dad passed away 11 years ago. I'm missing him today. And then for some of you fathers and grandfathers, today you're going to be surrounded by loving children and grandchildren. For others of you, it's going to be a lonely day, maybe, and you're ready to just, like, let's get today over with and let's get to Monday. But regardless of what this Father's Day looks like for each one of us, I believe God wants us to take courage. Now, in the Bible, God specifically speaks to fathers and grandfathers, and we're going to look at one of those passages this morning. The message is specifically for fathers and grandfathers, but don't check out if you're not one of those, because there's going to be some encouragement here for you. The title this morning is Take Courage, and I mean that in two ways. First, God wants you fathers to encourage your kids. And secondly, God wants you fathers to be encouraged. So open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. We're going to dig in and apply one short, powerful word from God for dads. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 says this. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So dad, this is a do not commandment, and it's a warning of what happens if we do the thing we're not supposed to do. So let's define things a little bit. So what are fathers not supposed to do? What's the first line? Do not provoke your children. Okay, other translations say don't embitter them. Don't be harsh with them. I found one that said don't push their buttons. We know the buttons that our kids have, and we're able to push them. You know, it's related to Ephesians 6:4. This passage might sound a little familiar to you. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. There in Ephesians 6:4, this word exasperate means to don't let your anger stir up their anger. Don't rub them raw, okay, so that when you're stirred up and you're alongside them, you're not stirring up their anger and their bitterness. And then God tells us dads why this is such a problem. Why is it a big deal to God to not provoke our kids? It's because when we're angry or when we're controlling or when we're domineering, the big problem, the thing we absolutely don't want to happen, is for our kids to become discouraged, for them to lose heart. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, why the instruction? Well, God knows that there's a critical father pitfall here, but there's also a critical father role here. God doesn't say anything in the Bible he doesn't need to say. Dads, how many of you have ever had this situation? Okay, it's just us now, guys. All right, men, dads, everybody else, you know, check your phones or whatever. We just need a safe space to talk here as dads. So you say to your daughter, hey, Jenny, fill in daughter's name, okay? Hey, Jenny, make sure you bring the parents' papers home from school today. Dad, I know, I'll do it. You don't have to tell me. Well, you say I don't have to tell you, but can you tell me why I'm telling you? Well, I don't know. Well, I'm telling you because the last 3 days you have not brought the parent packet home from school today. Okay, yeah, well, maybe. So I'm telling you that in my mind, this is not going to happen unless I tell you. Dads, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. So when God tells us stuff in the Bible, it's because he needs to tell us stuff, right? If he gives dads a special instruction, in this case, dads, don't provoke your children, it's because we're prone to provoking our children. We're prone to harshness. We're prone to frustrating our children and pushing their buttons. So God knows that, so he directly speaks to the issue. God wants all of us to grow in this area of our fathering and our grandfathering. When we dealing with our anger, our yelling, our sarcasticness, or our over-punishing. Any of you dads ever done that? You ever over-punish? Your son hit his brother again? You say, you're grounded, kid. How long? 2 years. I'm going to put a slot in your door to feed you. I'm going to put a porta-potty in your bathroom. In your bedroom, excuse me. Porta-potty in your bedroom. 2 years, door's shut. You go downstairs, you know, because your wife sent you up to handle it, right? And so she's like, how'd it go?
I don't know. I think I might have been overdone it a little bit. Put him 2 years. I put a porta potty in his bathroom, a little excessive, like a do-over there.
Guys, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. All right, a little over-punishing. You got to go back and undo that. Now, I'm sure I've shared this with you before, but it's so important, dads, for us to become experts in this, that when we lose our temper, when we get harsh, when we get angry, to quickly go and apologize to our kids and ask their forgiveness for our anger. And I've learned, I wish I knew this when my older kids were younger, but I've learned it now for you little kids. So this is good for you. So, you know, if I yell at Ray, if I lose my temper with Ray, I've got to go to him. Ray, I yelled at you and I'm sorry. And listen, Ray, this is the key, guys. It was not your fault that I yelled at you. It was not your fault that I got angry with you. That was totally my fault. And I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me for that? Yes, Daddy, I forgive you. None of this, like, I wouldn't have had to yell at you if you hadn't whatever. I wouldn't have had to get angry with you if you hadn't whatever. So we've got this negative command, right, in our scripture here. Do not provoke your children with a negative consequence. But we get both negatives because God wants a positive. The goal is not discouraged children. You hear me? The goal is not discouraged children. The goal is a positive. That would be encouraged children. The goal is to have children who are taking courage. Now, how do we do that? Well, I'll save that. And I'll leave angry man up for just a minute. But that is an angry man that I found on Google. Okay. How do we help our kids take courage as they face into life? Springtime in the Reno house is baseball season. We've got our W playing baseball, JD playing baseball, Ray playing baseball. Rush is starting T-ball next year, right, buddy? Mm-hmm. A little high five for Dad there. Oh, he's a little spaced out. He's like, don't talk to me in public, Dad. And, of course, church softball, right? So there's a lot of bats and balls in the Reno house. And a few years ago, our W found an online, like, hitting coach, okay? He posts videos, articles, stuff like that. The guy's name is Steve Springer. And he does some messages for parents. And his basic message for parents of baseball players is this, that baseball is the most self-esteem-destroying sport in the world. Baseball is the most self-esteem-destroying sport in the world. So you have seen these pictures, right, of little leaguers. This is after the strikeout. This is after the big error that allowed the winning run to score, you name it. But you know, here's the worst part, okay? And if you don't know baseball, I'll give you a little education here. Let's say you come up to bat 10 times, and 7 out of those 10 times you get out, and 3 out of the 10 times you get a hit. You got that? 10 at bats, 7 failures, 3 successes. You failed twice more than twice as many times that you succeeded. Now, where are my baseball fans out there? Is this hitter hitting poorly or hitting well? Hitting very well. If you do that, right, for the rest of your life, you're going to make millions of dollars. And you're failing 7 out of 10 times going to the plate. So baseball is a game of failure, and only the players who can handle failure can succeed. If you can't handle the failure, you lose heart, you lose courage, you're done. So what Steve Springer says, he says, the game will provide, to the parents now, the game will provide all the discouragement necessary. Your job as a parent is to encourage your player. Encourage them to have fun. Encourage them to keep their chin up. The game will take the courage out. You put the courage in. So dads, I think that there is a life parallel here. So dads, for your kids, listen now, life will provide all the discouragement necessary. Life will naturally and automatically suck the courage and heart out of your kids. Your job is just to keep pouring it back in. Now, this is true on two different levels, okay? There's the external and the internal when it comes to our children. The external, your kids, they fail a test. Their best friend gets a new best friend. They can't find a job. They get cut from the team. Their play date cancels. The toy breaks, okay? This is all the way from 2 years old to 52 years old, right? They don't get into the college they wanted. Okay, there's all that external failure and struggle. But far more importantly than that, our kids face daily internal failure. What am I talking about here? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How short do we fall of the perfection of Christ on a daily basis? A little off or a long way off? Long way off. Same for you, same for your kids. So they're going to struggle with selfishness and sin and pride and lying and disobedience and irresponsibility. Now, if your child's a follower of Jesus, sanctification is real. God is making them more and more like Christ. But just like you fall short every day, your kids are going to fall short every day. Your kids are playing, okay? Your kids are playing the biggest self-esteem destroying sport in the world. It's called what? Life, okay? If you don't, maybe you don't like the term self-esteem, okay? They are playing the most discouraging sport in the world. It's called life. My kids don't need more discouragement from me. They don't need more provoking from me. They don't need more exasperation from me. They need the opposite. So, dads, how do we do it? How do we say to our sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters, take courage? Two things that they need to hear and that they need to know. The first one, very important. The second one, absolutely essential. Okay, the first one's very important. The second one is absolutely essential. How do we say to our sons and daughters, take courage? First one is this: I love you and I'm with you. As a dad, we say, I love you and I'm with you. Not going to abandon you. I'm sticking with you no matter what. That one's important. But the one that's absolutely essential is the second one, that God loves you and he's with you. So here's the deal. Life beats your kids up. Sin beats them up. We can't solve it. We can't fix it. Can't rescue them. Can't create a pain-free existence. What we can do is we can love them and stick with them. We can say, I love you no matter what, no matter what happens. I'm committed to my relationship with you no matter what. Now, why am I saying that? You might say, well, Rob, those are nice kind of feel-goody Father's Day slogans you came up with there to give us a shot in the arm. I didn't pluck these out of thin air. The reason I'm saying that these are the key to encouraging your children is this is how our Heavenly Father encourages us. This is His message to us when it comes to, hey, you need to take courage. I'm going to show you this in two places in the Bible. First one is from Joshua chapter 1. We just had it read a moment ago. Moses has died. God has appointed Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. War is ahead. And so what does God say to Joshua? He says, be strong and very courageous. Take courage. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Now God reiterates, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Okay, has God been clear? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Take courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Now God says why Joshua should not be discouraged, why he should take courage. The word is for or because. Here's the reason, Joshua, you can take courage as you go into the promised land. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So what's Heavenly Father's message to his son Joshua? Why should you take courage? I love you and I'm with you. Have courage because it'll be easy when you cross the Jordan. No. Have courage because you will always be successful. Have courage because everything's going to work out just the way you want it to. Have courage because I'll be with you. Now look at that last part. Wherever you go. And God's speaking to his children here, right? What if Joshua makes a wrong turn? Where's God going to be? Hello? What if Joshua sins? Where's God going to be? What if he makes a mistake? Where's God going to be? I'm going to be with you. What does God say? Wherever you go. So what are we supposed to do as dads? Stay with them. Wherever they go. Son, whatever choices you make in your life, daughter, whatever choices you make in your life, we may agree, we may disagree, I may think it's right, I may think it's wrong, but I'll tell you what, I'm never going to leave you, never going to turn my back on you, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. We also see this with Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's preparing to ascend to heaven. He's meeting with his disciples. He's giving them their mission, their marching orders, their great co-mission. If you've been around church, you've heard it before. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. In church, we look at the middle piece, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. That's your mission. Share Jesus with people. Here at Gospel Fellowship, we talk a lot to parents and grandparents that your great commission begins at home, making disciples of your kids. But this whole calling is quite terrifying, quite overwhelming, quite anxiety provoking. Go into all the world, make disciples. Who, me, what? How does Jesus encourage his disciples to take courage? Look at what he says at the end. Behold, that's look carefully, pay attention. What does Jesus say? I am with you. What? I'm with you. What if you make a wrong turn? Where's Jesus? Hello? With you. What if you sin? Where's Jesus? What if you really mess up your family? Where's Jesus? With you. I'm with you always to the end of the age. Jesus says, you can have courage. You can step into the mission because I'm with you with you always. So dads, this is the same reason why God wants us to take courage as fathers. Remember, this morning, two messages. God wants you fathers to encourage your kids. And God wants you fathers to be encouraged, to take courage. And the bottom line is, you know, most of us as dads have a chronic nagging feeling of falling short. Falling short with the discipleship of our families, falling short with provision. If you're married, falling short with your wives, falling short with your stepkids, falling short with the Lord. Raise your hand, guys, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. So how do we deal with that? How do you deal with that as a Christian dad? What do you fall back on with that chronic feeling of falling short, not living up to your expectations for what you should be as a dad, not living up to your kids' expectations, your wife's expectations, God's expectations? What is? How do you deal with that? The way you deal with that is my Heavenly Father loves me and He's with me. My Heavenly Father loves me and He's with me. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and try again. I'm not going to lose heart. He promised He's going to be with me wherever I go, even if I make a wrong turn. I want to read a portion from a book that impacted me and RW. Actually, we spent some time talking about it together. This is from Dennis Rainey, a book, Stepping Up. It's a fairly long section, three paragraphs that I want to read to you about fathers and not losing heart and taking courage. He's talking specifically about parenting teenage boys, all right? But you can apply it to whatever parenting situation you might be facing. A teenage boy can come out on the other side of adolescence as a man, not only in body, but also in soul, if this man in the making is trained by the right kind of man, a man like you, a man who recognizes the dangers in our culture and does his duty, like Churchill, despite the intense pressures he faces. The greatest pressures you face as a father are your son's tendencies to push you out or resist your involvement and your temptation to pull out or disengage from his life. So pressure number one is pushback from your son. It's not easy to be involved in your son's life during his adolescent years. As he steps out of boyhood, he doesn't know how to become a man. He has little experience of the lethal temptations he'll confront. But his desire for independence will lead him to begin pushing you out of his life. He'll probably become more withdrawn emotionally and may talk to you less than before. He'll want to spend time with his peers instead of you. He'll argue with you and stiff arm you. He'll probably think you're old-fashioned and clueless, and he'll act as though you embarrass him. He may think he knows more than you. Pressure number two, that you will pull out. What makes the teenage years exponentially perilous is that at the same time your son and his peers are pushing back, you'll see many fathers beginning to pull out of their sons' lives. The exhaustion that comes at the end of a pressure-packed workday can result in passivity. Fathers rationalize the easiest thing to do is disengage, and that's exactly what they do. The antidote to the pushback and the pull out is to continue pressing into your son's life. As a man, you must courageously step up and stay involved, wisely moving deeper into your son's life, even as you're pressured daily to step out of it. Dads, maybe you're here and you're in a huge battle with discouragement in regards to your relationship with your kids, your family, choices maybe your kids have made, or discouragement with your own failures over the years. And honestly, sometimes we get angry at God. We wonder where God is. Man, I prayed for my kids all these years, and now they're headed in this direction. But I want to give you an essential principle here for any dad that does not want to lose heart. And the principle is this, that we need to trust God in the middle of the story. We need to trust God in the middle of the story. Maybe things with your family are a mess right now. Well, you're in the middle of the story. This isn't the end of the story. You don't know what God has in store. Let me illustrate this three ways, and hopefully it'll make some sense. There was a time in Moses' life when God told him to put his hand into his cloak. And when Moses took his hand out of his cloak, he had leprosy. What kind of a God would tell one of his children to put his hand in his cloak, take his hand out, and that God would strike him with leprosy? What a horrible thing. What are you thinking now? Dan's like, Rob, you got to keep going. Right? You don't stop there. That's not the end of the story. That's the middle of the story. Because God tells him what? Well, put your hand back in your cloak and take your hand out. And now God has healed him of the leprosy. Oh, isn't that awesome? It's really great. God showed his power to him. It's really cool. Okay? We don't judge God on the middle of the story. Let me try again. Here's Joseph. This is a terrible story. His 10 older brothers are jealous of him. They throw him in a pit, sell him into slavery in Egypt. Joseph's in prison for years. What kind of a God would allow that to happen? That's horrible. This is like a biblical family. What are you thinking? Hello? Rob, keep going. Come on. It's like a famine. And God raises Joseph up, the second in command in Egypt. He saves like the Egyptians, and then the brothers come and they reconcile. That's awesome. It's so awesome. He can't like stop there. Right? We don't judge God in the middle of the story. Or one more. God sends his own son, Jesus, into our world. Never does anything wrong. He's arrested. He's tortured. He hangs on a cross for 6 hours before he dies. What kind of God would ever allow that to happen? It's terrible. Worst part of the Bible. Don't stop Friday. Right? Get to Sunday. Come on. Get to the good stuff. Right? Bursts out of the grave to bring salvation for our sins. So listen, the Christian doesn't judge God based on the middle of the story. We trust God more than ever. And we need this as dads to take courage, not just in the message we share with our kids when things are a mess, okay, but for us ourselves. If you've got a child that's in a dark place in their life, wondering where God is, share this with them. Let's trust God in the middle of the story. Let's trust God in the middle of the story. We don't know how he wants to use the pain and the suffering that you're going through right now for his good purposes. And kids, listen up. Boys, girls, teenagers, adult children, okay? You can help us. You can help. This is for all your parents. You can help your dad. You can help your mom. You can help your grandma. You can help your grandpa. Your parents and grandparents get discouraged sometimes. And one of the things that you could say to us, Dad, I know life's hard right now. Don't quit. Don't stop trying. Dad, I love you. And I'm with you. Does that sound familiar? Can you imagine the kind of relationship a parent and child or a grandparent and a grandchild could have if that parent tells that child, I love you and I'm with you, and that child tells that parent, I love you and I'm with you? Can you imagine that if both of them were also able to say together, and God loves us and he's with us? We now have the kind of relationships in our homes with all the problems, with all the failures, with all the shortcomings that God wants us to have as we follow him. So Christian dads, message for you today. God wants you fathers to encourage your kids, and God wants you fathers to be encouraged. We're going to move into our communion time in just a minute, but I'd like to end my portion with a prayer for the fathers and grandfathers. So if you all would stand up, if you're a father or grandfather, I would like to pray for you. And if you'd all join me in praying for these men. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for all these men standing up right now. I also want to thank you for the men who may not have biological children, but who are spiritual fathers here in our church family. But I pray for all these men that they would be strong and very courageous. Pray that they would not turn to the right or to the left, but they'd follow and obey your word. I pray against any spirit of fear in them. They would never be discouraged or lose heart, because they know that you love them, and that you'll be with them wherever they go. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.